Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
We are continuing with the reunion theme this week. We have Roni, Reunion Part 2, and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Reunion Part 2.
Yeah, and we're also going to be talking about Southern Charm, and we have interviews with Sonia Morgan, Tinsley Mortimer, and Luann de Lesseps, all from Real Housewives of New York City.
And we are going to give you guys our interpretation of the Real Housewives of Dallas trailer that just came out. But before we get started, we just wanted to let you know that there is a Christmas in July marathon happening this week.
Because who needs to wait until December to celebrate the holidays?
Bravo is going to be airing Christmas-themed episodes from Real Housewives of New Jersey, Real Housewives of New York City. This includes the iconic Scary Island episode and Luann's Christmas Cabaret.
We also have themed episodes of Real Housewives of Atlanta, Below Deck Med, and Million Dollar Listing New York, featuring Frederick's Christmas performance.
So no need to keep sweating in the summer heat. Stay cool in the AC and get festive with Bravo. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Reunion Part 2. I have a request.
Okay.
We need to bring Amy from Texas on the show because she got Kyle all sorts of fired up.
Asking about the lawsuit, right?
Yes.
Let me tell you, that was interesting to watch in the room happening. Like, they were very annoyed. But I feel like Andy did a good job of saying, hey, here's the thing. Fans have been following your lives. It's not fair that we only get to see these good things happening and we're not seeing the other part of your life, which involves lawsuits.
Right. Well, and it makes a lot of sense, too, because, like, look at what's going on right now in Real Housewives of Potomac. Like, the allegations against Michael are happening. In previous seasons, we've seen the issues that, like, Karen's husband, Ray, was dealing with, like, the tax situation, Real Housewives of New Jersey. So for all of these things to be happening on Beverly Hills, but it not really making the show, I think I'm glad that they're calling it out. And everyone had to sort of, like, answer the question, like Erica, Kyle, Dorit, like we all know this is going on. Talk about it.
Exactly.
And they did.
A little bit.
A little bit. I guess as much as they can say legally, but also, like, you know, it's that saying, like, more money, more problems. Like, that is, like, very much like rich people problems. Like, there are lawsuits, like, usually in some capacity, but it doesn't necessarily mean there's, like, crimes.
Okay. So here's a hypothetical.
Okay.
You can have $20 million.
Tax-free?
Tax-free. Okay. And that's it is legal in this hypothetical.
Okay.
But five people are going to come after you and sue you, and you have no idea how it will turn out. Do you still take the money and take the chance?
Yes.
Interesting.
Because I'm no better off. I'd be better off, like, you know, no matter what, I'm better off.
Are you?
At least, well, like, I'll do something really good with that $20 million, like, put it in a trust, because can't they not come after you if it's in a trust fund or something like that? Like, yeah, hypothetical, I would take the $20 million and then hire some really good lawyers.
Okay.
Right? Would you just not risk it?
No, I guess I would, but it's just like those lawyers would take most of your money.
Right. I mean, the legal fees alone.
This is what I'm saying.
See, more money, more problems. I mean, I'm good over here. Another thing I thought was really interesting, because I think this has come up a lot in the past, and I feel like we've seen, you know, even people when they ask me about housewives and things, like Lisa Rinna sort of finally addressing the eating disorder rumors that we've heard for so long.
Do I have any food issues? I probably do, because I'm in this business.
Do you think you're addicted to exercise?
No, I don't.
I really kind of was happy to see that come up and her to sort of take that moment to be like, yeah, it is something that I've, you know, thought about and talked about with my therapist. Like, it is something that I have worked through. It's almost like she doesn't even really have an answer, but she kind of recognizes that she has struggled in the past with food.
I agree, because I feel like it's come up before, for sure. Like, season 5 reunion, I want to say, because Brandi Glanville was like, you know, it's not okay to say you see me drink, so you call me an alcoholic. I don't see you eat, and I'm not calling you anorexic.
Right.
And then she was like, I'm not, you know. And the thing is, I feel like it was better that in this instance, she took a moment to say, yeah, like, this is something to think about. And I just believe in general, it's very hard to be a female in the U.S. and not have some sort of issue with food.
Absolutely. And look at where they are in particular, like in Beverly Hills. And I think that is something that they have brought up all season, because that the idea of an eating disorder has come up, you know, at different occasions, and Amelia's been dealing with it, and Kyle revealed that she dealt with it growing up when, you know, at least when she was much younger. So it is kind of like a through line no matter what. It's the industry that they're in. It's the world that we live in. So it was great to finally get addressed. And I just also loved Erica's message in the end of it all. She's like, you know what? I'm actually the heaviest I've ever been. I used to be way skinnier. I'm going to eat pumpkin pie for breakfast. I'm going to eat Cheese Whiz, like whatever. You know, I think it's important to also know that that's a perspective too, that you can mm-hmm. just sort of be like, I don't care. Mm. What did you think about Camille telling Teddy that she moved in on Kyle when Lisa Vanderpump got moved out?
I think that's a nice story for Camille to tell herself, that this is why Kyle and I aren't closer. It's because of Teddy.
Right.
Teddy swooped in and took my friend. Like, no, I don't think that you and Kyle were ever going to be super close, other than you're both sort of sisters in this weird sorority.
Yeah, I think that is a good point, because also Kyle was a little blindsided when Camille asked her to be in her wedding. Kyle was like, oh, I didn't really realize we were that close. But as, you know, kind of crazy as Camille was throughout this reunion, she did make a kind of interesting point because of how close Teddy and Kyle have become. It a little bit reminds me of what Lisa Vanderpump and Kyle once were. Because in the previous reunion episode, they were like, Kyle, you're the new queen. You own the crown now, blah, blah, blah. Kind of making her, in theory, the new Lisa Vanderpump. So naturally, who's the new Kyle? And I think that might be what Teddy's trying to swoop into.
That's that's a stretch. I don't know.
Do you think?
Not on your part, but I mean, like, Teddy the new Kyle?
I don't know. I mean, Kyle the new Lisa. It's like, is that how it plays out?
We shall see.
We shall see. I did also appreciate the Watch What Happens Live clip that featured Lisa Vanderpump, because we were there.
Right.
We were at the bar.
Did they show us?
Yeah. No, they didn't show us.
Oh. God damn it.
We were there. We were not shown there.
Why couldn't they have just used the shot with us in the background?
Right. I know. It's true. But I do appreciate that moment. And what I wanted to mention to the listeners, because I don't think we brought this up before, but Danny's friend Adam made a good point that that was the last Watch What Happens Live where Lisa Vanderpump was a guest and also a housewife.
And we were there.
And we were there for that final moment.
And they picked us because they knew it was an iconic moment.
Exactly. Probably That's what not. We tell ourselves. Yes.
Okay, what did you think about Camille's walk-off?
When you were sitting there at lunch with Camille and she was trash-talking everyone, what was going through your mind?
I was really uncomfortable because I didn't want to.
This is truly a setup.
What is a setup?
I'm done. I'm fed up.
No,
I'm done.
What are you talking about?
Did your own stuff.
What are you talking about?
I'm done. Bullshit. They did say those things.
Is she on something?
She did say she cursed at her kids. She did say that.
She's so angry.
Well, I definitely love that Denise triggered it, because I think that Denise, you know, first season housewife, she's trying to gain her footing. She's definitely put her opinion out there. She's made a big impact this season. Everyone loves Denise. But I feel like having a reunion moment like that is super important to, like, the housewives. You know, it's just like it's important. So I do love that she was sort of like kind of calling Camille out on her bullshit and was just sort of like, what are you saying? Why are you getting so mad? Like, this is a little bit crazy. And I think Camille was getting so worked up that that was the straw that broke the camel's back. Like, it was just Denise kind of getting in there and being like, what are you even talking about? And who doesn't love a walk-off?
I think it's also great that it's Denise, because she is season one, so she's never been to a reunion. So for her, it really is all just like crazy pants.
Right.
You know, like, I don't understand. Why are we having meltdowns? Why are people getting in fights? And it's like, yeah, this is a reunion.
You know what else almost walked off? Camille's dress. She was fighting so hard to get that mic off, but it was like literally stripping her naked. The PA's like following her, trying to like keep her dress up.
Did you feel like she was breaking down, though?
I think she made a choice to act out and walk off. Like,
see,
I think
I don't know, being in the room, it just felt like,
that's true, what did it feel
happening.
Like, there
she just seemed all over the place emotionally.
Yeah, Well, I mean, even I think Denise points that out, is kind of like, is she on something? Like, it seemed like there was something that wasn't registering to everyone else. Like,
right.
Something seemed off.
Yeah.
I also really loved that Camille tried so hard to throw production under the bus and be like, the only reason you were there is because production forced that. And Andy's like, no, no, no. You have control over who's at your own wedding. Like, don't try to make this about Bravo. Like,
I love when Andy has to step in.
Oh, hell yeah.
And be like,
right.
No way.
Yeah. He's like, you're not going to throw the network I built up under the ground here right now, Camille. I don't fucking think so.
Right.
And invite me to such big moments. I've like tried. Your wedding and your 50th birthday.
Well, that was production.
No,
honestly. It's not production. We try. But no, but that is the truth because I didn't want to invite any of your ladies to my wedding. Honestly.
Oh, wow.
Hold on. Hold on. Okay. You have power over yourself.
You can't say that. There has to be something else. Nobody forces you.
You have power over yourself. I mean, you do.
I also really thought it was interesting about the question that came up about plastic surgery and like, what work have you had done?
Oh, right.
And a little bit of like the offense that Erica took to it, more so than some of the other ladies.
I hate it when people say, what work have you had done? Mm-hmm. What work have you had done?
Well, but the thing about it,
I think she should answer it, but at the same time, it's just kind of rude.
But to Andy's point is, like, that is, it has become a trope of like the housewives and sort of just like reality television and just being able to sort of manufacture the look that you want. So do you think they like deserve to be upset about that? Do you think it's an inappropriate question to ask?
I feel like such an unfair standard is put on women to not age. That it's like, to Erica's point, you want to look at something beautiful, but then you want to shame us for doing what we had to do to maintain that.
Right. I think that's a really good point. I mean, I think you can also, you know, being asked so straightforward, like, what work have you had done, is probably crossing the line a little bit. But to the point of, I think, Dorit or Teddy even brought it up saying, you know, well,
you look great.
You look great. Like, yeah. What have you done? Like, what is your skincare routine? And then sort of like leading them to giving you the answer. If they want to provide you with that information of, well, I also had, you know, this, and this done. Because I think it's like, you know, right now I'm at the age where some of my friends are going in, they're getting a little Botox, a little filler here and there, you know? So it's obviously even something I've started to think about, like, well, at what age am I going to do that? But, you know, to your point, it's like, is it really somebody's business? I don't know. And is it because of these unreal expectations that are placed on women and people in this industry? For sure.
Right. I think I was talking to some guy and he was talking about how he loves big boobs. No surprise. Hates the way implants feel. And it was just like,
well, you can't have it all.
It's like you dick, like, you're the problem,
right?
You know,
right? No, he is the problem for sure.
Oh, the fact that Camille called out Kyle Richards for, like, well, you said something off camera about Lisa Vanderpump's breath too,
right?
And that is like, talk about hitting below the belt. You're not supposed to bring up stuff that was said off camera.
I know, but you know what, the fans love that.
They
love to know.
I love it.
It's totally like, as Ramona put it, like, very incorrectly on the Roni Reign, you're going over the fourth line or yeah. Something completely off. But yeah, I mean, I do like, Camille was a little bit all over the place with this reunion.
And P.S., Camille, you've just now embarrassed Lisa Vanderpump further,
right,
by saying, hey, it wasn't just me. Other people were talking about it.
Yeah. I also really kind of don't know where she and Lisa Vanderpump stand. Like, are they friends or are they not? Like, I don't really understand what their relationship is now.
That's why, I mean, I question a lot of the housewives just in terms of, like, they'll even say, well, when we're not filming, we don't really hang out. And,
yeah,
you know, so, like, I don't know.
As a Brandy stan,
What
did you think about Camille bringing up and kind of speaking for Lisa Vanderpump in this situation, saying, like, she was probably really pissed that you went out with Brandy because Brandy is her sworn enemy?
Too f-ing bad. But Denise isn't even that good of friends with Lisa Vanderpump. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they had only known each other for a very short amount of time
so
at that point.
Why should Denise have any allegiance to Lisa Vanderpump? And by the way, she and Brandy share the same agent.
Yeah.
So, like, of course they would hang out and, you know, they both seem very similar to me.
And also, you know, Denise mentions we didn't go out to talk shit about Lisa Vanderpump. What I think Denise was doing was reaching out to someone that she's connected to through her manager to be like, can you please give me some tips on how to deal with all of these women and, like, be in this situation? Because it was a new experience for Denise. And Brandy's, like, a veteran of this situation. Right. So as much as it wasn't specifically about Lisa Vanderpump, obviously that came up because Denise was like, give me your perspective on this. But it wasn't intended to just be, like, a shit-talking Lisa Vanderpump session. I think it was Denise being like, please help me and give me advice on what to do in this reality TV world.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So as much as Brandy wasn't physically present, she was there.
Oh, I wish she had been present.
In this interview we have with Sonia Morgan, she talks about her feelings going into the reunion, how she really feels about her friends dating her exes, and if she's recently heard at all from Harry Dubin. Plus, she gives us an update on her own dating life. Here's the interview. Guys, we are here with Sonorita. Yes. Hey, how are you?
It's funny that that moniker is from Luann, and I just left Lulu, so I'll be seeing her a little bit later today.
Hey, you guys are running around doing a lot of press today.
Yes, we are.
So it's all around the reunion. So how did you feel going into this reunion versus other ones?
Honestly, I was a little nervous because I wasn't sure if she was going to come around and make up with Dorinda, because I was there for Luann initially because we go way back. We're friends 7-8 years before I even started the show. And I bonded with Dorinda this season. So when I saw Dorinda was bending over backwards, I started spending a little bit of time with Dorinda over the fact that we were both moving out of our bigger homes into smaller apartments. Right. And, you know, I felt bad for Dorinda that she was really trying to make up and Luann was being very self-centered. And then I saw that, you know, Luann was protecting herself, really, and her sobriety, and it came off really cold. So I was so relieved at the reunion when she said, I'm sorry, this is what it was about. But a lot of people have run into me on the street, because, you know, that's the kind of hooker I am.
Right, of course.
And they said, is that a fake apology? Well, we're going to have to see season 12.
I guess
if it
so.
Was, you know, from the heart or not.
Well, who do you feel like had the hardest season? I feel like there was a lot of pressure. Luann was kind of in the hot seat in part one, but Bethany went through a lot. I mean, who was it toughest for, do you think?
Luann. Yeah. I mean, she was just getting hit left or right for her behavior, basically treating all of us like crap. I was her closest friend, and I never got to see her. First, it was over, oh, Tom is marrying me. You're like dust now. And I put up with that. And, you know, I gave her a chit on that one. And then I was like, now what's the story? You're going around telling people I'm on pills and still going around saying that. And I'm like, come on, give me a break.
Right.
I've been the keeper of all your secrets forever.
That's true. Did you see anyone kind of come into their own this season, especially after the reunion?
This season, before the reunion, I feel Bethany came back into her own skin.
Okay.
And has been so soft-hearted and real and loving and romantic. And, you know, going through something as bad as losing Dennis, you know, really showed her soft side. And then having a new boyfriend come into her life definitely is showing that again.
Can you tell us a little bit about Paul? He's kind of a mystery man to a lot of the fans.
Yeah, that's who Paul is. He's a mystery man. And I think when you're in love, you protect that. When you really are in love and, you know, you just want to chill with somebody and keep them to yourself, that speaks louder than anything.
Absolutely. So I want to ask a little bit about Ramona. And she kind of uses this excuse of, I'm just forgetting things. My face is ageless, but my mind is not. Do you believe that?
I mean, she knew this was coming at the reunion. And I was going to say, what do you have, Alzheimer's? Or, you know, because I've seen that happen to people. I'm not referring to my ex-husband at all here. I'm talking about Ramona. I was like, okay, this is the only good excuse. And I was going to use it tongue-in-cheek as a joke. And she actually had the nerve to say she had that.
Right.
And that's when Bethany had to stand up and say, you take the cake, okay?
Right.
That's the number one Ramona-sized moment I've ever seen. Okay, I didn't remember table 62 because I'm just getting old. My skin looks great, but my mind isn't keeping up with my body. And then how about, you know, consciously saying, my girlfriend Sonia, who's already in society, she's not invited to my coming out party in society. I wanted to kill her.
Right. Well, we actually spoke to her last week about the instance, and she doesn't quite think she's social climbing. She thinks she's already at the top. So do you agree?
Just because you buy a ticket to a charity event doesn't mean you're in society. And because you buy a home nestled in among society doesn't mean you're in society.
Right.
And that's coming from someone who's been behind closed doors where photos are not taken and there are no red carpets. There's right. no step and repeat. And I can tell you there's no Ramona Singer.
Okay, that's fair. In Miami, there was a lot of talk about breaking girl code, a.k.a. Luann and Ramona dating some of your exes. So do you think after the reunion they understood where you were coming from with that?
They probably understood it before. They just didn't think I'd say anything because I don't really care if they're going to be with my throwaways. But what I did find when I drank, I cared about my girlfriends doing it. You know, your throwaways are your throwaways. You just don't want your inner circle and these friends are like family to me.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it was really bothering me until I was smashed.
Right. And then it all came out.
Yeah. I was like, you know what, Luann? You are dating my exes. Ramona's dating my ex. It's like, find your own guys.
Right. When was the last time you saw Harry Dubin?
Thankfully, not for a while now. He does, you know, check in regularly and I just ignore or give him a smile face. I mean, I love Harry as a friend. But since we dated and he's flirted with the idea of us getting back together, he just doesn't have what it takes to be with Sonia Morgan.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about your current dating life. How do you meet guys nowadays?
Well, you know, I've been very lucky. I've had great guys that just want to be with me. They're not selling anything. And I'll leave it at that.
Right.
But I tend to attract these really sexy, gorgeous, young guys because they're not selling anything. They just want to be with sexy Sonia, with a sexy Jay. And right now, that's not what's on my mind. The whole last year was about my daughter and her college applications and SATs and providing stability while we were renting out the townhouse and moving into a smaller apartment.
Right.
It wasn't about sexy Sonia. So now that I have done that and I feel like I've created, you know, and her, I don't want to say, she's firmly placed. She knows where she's going. Her future is written in the stars.
Right.
So now I'm thinking about myself and growing old with someone. I've been thinking about it. It's been a 5-year plan, but now that I'm in the smaller apartment, actually the townhouse is for rent again right now because my last tenant moved out in June.
Okay.
So I'm very flexible between 32 and 36,000.
Good to know.
Because that's what I've been getting. But, you know, I really would like to date someone. I went on a date with someone in Virginia who I know a few decades. He's 66 years old. That's kind of ideal. And, you know, then I dated somebody from Connecticut, a little bit older than me.
A little bit of long distance.
Well, I have a place in New York. If I want to move back in and renovate the townhouse, and they have a beautiful home in Greenwich. I don't need a beautiful home in Greenwich, and I don't need a horse farm in Virginia.
Yeah.
I need a guy with a hammock and a garden and who can focus on reading a book.
Don't we all?
And me.
So there's been a lot of talk this season between, you know, Dorinda and John's relationship, and she's always said, you know, I don't really feel the need to get remarried. Do you want to get remarried?
I definitely feel the need to have commitment and to know who I'm going to be with for the rest of my life because I'm at the best part of my life right now. I have so much to share and I love taking care of a man. That's what I do. And I, you know, I've been taking care of my plants and my gardens and my houses and my daughter. And now I'm ready to take care of a man.
I love that.
And my pets and my LGBT community and my children's charities and my artists. So I'm ready now. I have room in my life for also a man because, you know, they always want to know where their socks are and their glasses and I have to pack them for trips, and, you know.
Right.
But I am a bottom. I'm a lazy bottom. A heterosexual.
Nothing wrong with that,
Sonia. Lazy bottom.
Well, we actually recently saw you were affected by the blackout that happened here in New York. So tell
where
us
were
more.
You? Were you here, Kyle?
I was actually, well, I live in Queens, so I was so just like making my way back over there and I was fine.
What was it? 42 years since the day from 1977. the blackout.
Right.
When all the baby boom, the babies came from, right? Yeah. Well, I wasn't making babies. I was making out with my poodle because he was so scared. He was like licking my face excessively. And someone was trapped in my elevator.
Oh, it's like my worst nightmare.
Banging and screaming. And I said, calm down. Easy for you to say. And I, you know, so New York, right?
Right.
And I said, well, the fire trucks are on the way. Can you hear them? Now. Okay, so we're having a conversation. And the fire trucks came right away and got them out. The whole Columbus Circle was blackout.
Wow.
You know, there were no street signals. Civilians, like the fruit man, the hot dog man, were
right, directing traffic.
Directing traffic.
Yeah.
You know, they were giving up sales because they had generators. Right. They could have been selling hot dogs.
Yeah.
Real New Yorkers.
I mean, that's what it's all about.
People in the subways were stuck.
That's also my second worst nightmare. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming, Sonia.
Thank
we appreciate
you. It was
it.
So great.
Happy
Always
reunion.
Good to see you.
You too.
Eric, do you remember mood rings?
Well, being a child of the 90s, it was mandatory to have one.
So Scentbird is sort of like an adult mood ring, but with fragrances. With more than 450 designer brands to choose a perfume or cologne from, you can switch up your scent depending on how you're feeling that day.
You could choose from brands like Prada, Tom Ford, Versace, or my personal favorite, Burberry. And Scentbird will send you a 30-day supply. That's 120 sprays, enough to apply more than 4 times a day for a month.
Not sure what type of scent you're looking for? Sort and find your new fragrance by brand, scent, occasion, season, and more.
One good tip is to check out user ratings and reviews on any fragrance, or you can actually take Scentbird's quiz to discover more personalized recommendations based on your taste.
And with an exclusive offer just for our listeners, you can get 50% off your first month today. That's only $7.50 for your first fragrance.
Go to scentbird.com/dish and use our code DISH for 50% off your first month.
Again, that's scentbird.com/dish to try your first perfume or cologne for just $7.50.
Sign on and smell amazing. Rone, in terms of this part of the reunion, there was a pretty big focus on Tinsley and where her money comes from and all of that. So a little bit similar to what we were just talking about with like Erica and, you know, how much work have you had done? Don't you think it's pretty similar to be like, where does your money come from? Because I don't understand it.
I'm trying to think, because it's like, yeah, in a normal everyday world, I could never ask you that,
right,
or you ask me, like that would be so offensive. But it is the Real Housewives, and a big part of like this franchise is the glamour and, you know, the rich women who live in these cities. So yeah, I do think it makes sense for us to know as fans.
Right. Well, I think what was the most confusing for me was that, like, knowing Tinsley before she was even on Housewives, like, she was positioned as that sort of, like, socialite, comes
for sure,
from money, trust fund baby. And I think I never really thought twice of, like, where her money is coming from, because she comes from, to what Andy says and everyone, like, a Southern debutante, rich family. Like, that's,
yeah,
just where it comes from. So I don't think I ever really questioned it. But to the point of like Dorinda and the other ladies, they're like, it seems like there's an arrangement because
the money
Scott
dipped for a little bit, then it went up, and now like it hasn't gone back down.
And I guess Tinsley had moved to West Palm Beach for a little while, then came back to New York. So I think they're,
well, and her explanation made perfect sense, though, that when she got arrested, the trustees were like, we don't fully trust you to have all the money that you've been allotted so far, so we're gonna, you know, hold things back.
Right. I was a little confused as to why the other women were harping on that so much.
Yeah.
But I wonder if it really was kind of just trying to get into like, what is going on with you and Scott? Like, it does seem like you guys have an untraditional relationship. And then Bethany comes in with the, like, you're setting women back 100 years.
Diana from Hoboken said, Bethany, after Tinsley wouldn't call Scott at your dinner party, what did you mean when you said in an interview that Tinsley sets women back 100 years?
I meant that Tinsley is not an example, in my opinion, of female empowerment.
I don't understand how she can even say that. She went to, like, a private school growing up. I mean, that comes from... that came from her parents' money.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what's the difference?
Well, and I also think that if Tinsley's income and finances are up for question, everyone else's can be too. You know, I mean, everyone, where's everyone else getting their money? I mean, Bethany, I think, is always kind of at the forefront, just kind of in pop culture in general as being a businesswoman. She's on Shark Tank. You know, she has her story for the entire time she's been on the series has been as an entrepreneur, as someone who's starting businesses, selling businesses. But like the other women sort of come from very different backgrounds. We know Sonia, you know, is the Morgan and whatnot. But I feel like if everyone's going after Tinsley, like everyone else, like pull out your checkbooks and let us know where that money's coming from. Ramona was also in the hot seat for a lot of this reunion.
As she should be.
As she should be. So you guys heard a little bit in last week's episode about Ramona sort of defending her social climbing, her forgetfulness. Her face is ageless, but her mind is not. But they really didn't let her off the hook with this reunion. They were drilling her on every single lie that she was caught in. So I really kind of appreciated that.
And not just the lying, but the fact that every year you say you're a work in progress. Like every year you have to make these grand apologies for terrible things you've said. It's never, like, in my opinion, it's never going to change.
No. And I think that's her party line now is sort of like, well, I've learned a lot about myself right. this year. I'm changing. She said it in the interview on this episode, last week's episode. So I did think it was really funny, too, how she tried to blame Bravo for what she said about Dennis. It's not Bravo's fault. It was in there.
I can't believe they would even keep that in.
Right.
Well, I'm surprised that even Bravo put it up. We both have everything.
No,
don't blame Bravo for putting it up.
Disrespectful. No way.
Everyone feels that they've said something that they can't believe they said, but it winds up on the show.
No, it wouldn't be fair to show her flaws and not give you a call, hall pass on that.
Of course they're going to keep it in.
Like, you don't get off the hook because you said something terrible while everyone else's shit is, like, airing out for everyone to see. Come on.
Yeah.
She should know better. She's been on the show forever.
Yeah.
They also get into everything that went down with Luann, rehab, her sobriety, all of that sort of stuff. My question is, totally from a legal standpoint, if you're not court ordered to go to rehab, are you required to stay for a full 21 days, for example? Or if you check yourself in, can't you technically check yourself out?
You can, but I think why it's frowned upon is that if you're an addict, then you're not in the right state of mind to decide what's right for you.
And what time you should go or
right.
whatever.
They say that it's 21 days because, like, for whatever reason, when rehab's, like, the development of that process, they've decided this is how long it takes to help someone who needs to be helped.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you, like, and maybe this is just going too deep. Isn't it crazy, though, that if by law they're saying, you know what, Luann, you have a problem with drinking, then punish her for doing what many alcoholics do, which is relapse.
Mm-hmm.
How can you punish a relapse?
Right. I think that's the really complicated part of it all. And I think if you remember earlier in the season, Tinsley kind of confronts Luann about the whole drinking thing, and it's really hard for Tinsley to process the idea of, like, Luann being an alcoholic because she saw the way it was with her father. So I think it is a very tricky thing, and you know, Luann does admit to relapsing in this reunion, talking about the two mimosas that she had and how funny it is that your brain just can play tricks on you like that, like thinking it's not going to be a big deal.
And how often do you take those breathalyzers?
Three times a day.
So knowing that you were
I know. But you know what? Your mind, that mind plays funny games on you. And I thought, you know, it's, you know, 10 o'clock. I don't have to blow until 3 o'clock. I'll be okay. But I wasn't. And I can't tell you how difficult it is because there is no margin for error. And that's a very difficult, stressful way to live.
So it is pretty complicated. And I think Luann is really going through it and really struggling with this recovery. And I think it's a lot more work than she probably ever realized
right. It
was going to be. And I think she's also struggling with making the other women kind of understand the process and understanding that relapsing is part of the process. Because I feel like, you know, even Ramona being like, well, I think you're still drinking on the side. Well, that's not a helpful, constructive thing to say. That might be what you think, but, like, you should say that to Luann in private. I think it's really difficult to put yourself in situations where you are at risk, but it's also how do you not put yourself in those situations because alcohol is everywhere. It's a little similar to what we've seen on Southern Charm right now with Catherine Dennis feeling uncomfortable being around all of the legal marijuana and the cannabis dinner that they have. She's a little bit like that was something that deeply affected me. I went to rehab. I almost lost custody of my kids. Like someone should check on me and make sure that like I'm okay with this being around. But like, does everyone have to check in on Luann every time that there's like a dinner where there's alcohol? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the tricky part of it all. Well, next week we're going to see Barbara showing up for part three of the reunion, which should be interesting because I kind of forgot.
Pay attention to her legs, everyone. They are so shiny.
I also got the chance to speak with Tinsley Mortimer. She spoke about volunteering with the charity No Dogs Left Behind and her new fur babies, Strawberry and Shortcake, who are so cute. Check them out on Instagram. And she talks about what really happened during that pride fight with Sonia Morgan that went viral. Let's take a listen. Guys, we're here with Tinsley Mortimer from Real Housewives of New York City. Hi, Tinsley.
Hi, Pete. What's up?
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm so good. Let's talk about Real Housewives of New York City, season 11.
All right, give me some wine.
Coming to, right? Season 11 coming to an end. How do you feel this season went for you?
Well, this is my third season, and, you know, it gets better and better. I think, you know, coming on as a new girl, it's always tough because these girls are really set in their ways and their friendships and everything. And also, I'm younger, so it's hard to kind of like make your way and have a voice. I do feel like this year I had more of a voice, but let me just tell you, I got way more of a voice right now because I just feel like as I've been watching it more and as we just filmed the reunion that's airing now, which was filmed a couple weeks ago, I've had enough of some of this stuff. So we'll see. But I'm just saying, you know, they're a little older. It's different. My life is a little different than theirs. I love them all. We're all friends for different reasons, but I just feel that they have a lot of times they treated me like a little kid sister, and which is okay. I am younger, but
Well, going into part one, Andy said that Ramona was going to end up in the hot seat. So did you expect that, and was that true?
She did a bit, for sure, because of some of the stuff that she did. And certainly, I mean, just even a specific comment about Dennis that she made was bad. Clearly horrible. And she did her behavior a lot this year. But you know what? Overall, I think Ramona's, even in her early 60s, is really coming into herself. I think she's becoming a better person, a nicer person, more self-aware. And I actually really, despite the fact that she bitched at me about my lashes and said that I looked old, which
right.
wasn't actually on camera, but it's been now playing on Instagram and stuff. I mean, like, I don't know, the lost footage that somehow ends up somewhere, you know, which I personally was very aware of as I was filming and crying. But, you know, I think she's really actually become a nicer person. And I really do enjoy Ramona. I like her a lot. And even though she's a little bit older, well, 20 years older or so, I can find some commonality and friendship with her, which I like. I think the biggest hot seat would probably be Luann.
Yeah. So. I mean, that was a big thing this season in terms of her ego. So do you think that everyone walked away from the reunion in a better place with Luann? Was the air kind of cleared or?
You know, honestly, there was moments when, first of all, and I'm not saying this for any other reason, I actually really like Luann, and I think that she, a lot of her, like, not being aware of some of the things she says is really just not to be malicious. Sometimes when you just don't really realize, it's not really there. But I think she had moments of clarity, and she was being, you know, she was apologetic for some of the stuff she did, but then there was some of the other moments, and, you know, we film so much, and you never really, I'm not saying that there's editing involved, but what I mean is we do film a lot and we don't really know how it's going to all play out. I think that there was the moments in the beginning where she did seem very apologetic about a lot of stuff she did, but towards the end, I felt like she kind of went back to the other ways, and I'm not quite sure how it's going to play out. So I don't know, but I think that I don't think she should be so slammed the way that she's been a little bit.
Right. Well, we've talked a little bit about it on the podcast in terms of, like, you can still have, like, an ego and be a little narcissistic, but it doesn't make you a bad person. Like, you can still be a good friend. Like, so I feel like we see both of those qualities in Luann very often, right?
I do. And you know what? Look, she's been through, you know, she is dealing with a lot. She, you know, I don't think she's an alcoholic. I think that she, Palm Beach, you know, was
Palm Beach, my God.
Hello. she was, you know, she was arrested. She, having been intoxicated, that became a part of the arrest. And she definitely did wrong. I'm not saying that. But I just don't think overall alcohol is necessarily her problem. I think that, you know, it just became that. So now she's having to deal with that situation. And it's, you know, if someone told me I couldn't drink, I don't know. It'd be like, if I had... It would be bad. I don't know. I mean, I would do it. I'd be like, okay, bye by the rules. But I mean, but it would be tough. Yeah. It would be tough. So I understand that might be tough for her. I think that she's excited about her cabaret show. She's super successful. I can't tell you the people that just meet me, that they don't know me, that are like, oh my God, we saw Luann in Chicago or whatever. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of her. And way to go, girl. Turn that mugshot around. I did too.
Right.
She did. All good. If anybody's in trouble, go to Palm Beach, get a mugshot, turn your life around.
Exactly. Seriously. I mean, capitalize on that, right?
Seriously. But I'm teasing. But, you know, the thing is that I think she's doing really well. I think that the only thing I didn't like was that this season, Bethany did help her a lot. And I think that she, in moments, was sort of attacking, whether it was, oh, Bethany gets the big room and Bethany. And it just seemed, okay, like, let's not go there right now. And I, you know, because you have to be grateful for people helping you. And
yeah.
I felt like she wasn't. But overall, you know, she's successful. She's doing well. She's happy.
Right.
That's good.
That's what's important.
That's good.
Do you end up in the hot seat at all at the reunion over Scott?
Holy shit.
Finances.
I do. I really felt there was a little gang up moment. I was on one side of the sofa and the other side is, I was coming. It was coming for me. A little confusing because actually a lot confusing because honestly with Drenda and myself, we were close. I was defending her the whole time against Luann and I loved Drenda and we were friends. And towards the very, very end, it just got – everything shifted and turned. And then honestly, Bethany did come for me a little bit too based upon the Drenda side of the story. And – Bethany and I have been friends. And you know what? Bethany did apologize because I think she felt like, why am I going for you when I didn't even, we had no beef. It didn't really bother me. My fight with Drenda bothered me. And I don't really feel like I really was able to finish it because I feel that other people jumped in. Because I think the Drenda called in people. It was like, minions, help me. Which
right.
I was like, why? Wait, Bethany, why are you being called in? Because I don't think that you needed to be. I thought you were... I didn't think that we had any reason to be in an argument. Bethany did say that she was like, well, you know, if there's an opinion and I can be, I'm going to be a part of it. So if somebody else has an opinion and I'm going to opinionate, you know, I'm going to have my own voice on that too. But I just felt like it wasn't really called for. And she did apologize, which was nice. And look, Bethany and I are good.
What about Sonia?
Sonia and I, despite the craziness that happened after Pride. And by the way, that was after Pride. And not that that matters, but for some reason it was reported that it was like, before Pride, these two were going at it. And then, no. I was upset that she had said some stuff about Bambi, my dog that died. Hurt my feelings a lot because you know that's my child, that's my family. You, regardless, you also have been very close to dogs in your life. Like, don't, you know. Was really hurtful. So we had a moment. I felt like we cleared the air. I even felt like Drenda and I cleared the air. And then, I don't know, we had a lot of drinks and we went on the float, which was so much fun.
Right.
Dancing her face off and like, oh my, and Sonia and I were smooching, by the way, too. Like we were like making out. So then,
as you should.
As normal. and then somehow, I don't know, towards, I don't know, several drinks in, then we went to PhD and other places. And then Kelly Dodd.
She got that.
Us. Thank you. Not thank you. But you know what? At the end of the day, you know what it does say is that as much as I didn't like that and as much as I don't, if I wake up one more day being in Page Six, I swear to God. And like, again, my mother, thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dale. you know, what it shows, though, that this show is totally real. And everything that happens is 100% real. There we are. the two of us, having no idea we're being filmed, having the same argument that we've had a thousand times, but it's still there and it's still real. And we still have these feelings towards each other. She still feels I'm ungrateful for the townhouse. I'm still telling her that I am. And as stupid as it is, it's still real. So as much as anybody wants to say this show isn't real, it's freaking real.
Do you think she'll ever stop bringing up the townhouse? I feel like she keeps using that against you in a lot
of
ways.
She'll never. She'll never. And I just I've come to accept it. It's fine. So I still love the girl.
At Pride, did you meet anyone that you were super excited to meet? Other Bravo Lebs?
Yes.
Who was Patricia. Your favorite? Oh, yes.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Right.
Like, the grand dame of Southern Charm. Oh, my God. I'm obsessed with her. And I just want... You know, it's funny because at one point she lived in Richmond, Virginia. I do not... Where I'm from. We did not know her then. My mother did not know her. I don't know who she was married to then, but I'm obsessed with that.
Right.
She's so amazing and Southern. I know.
Did you get her number?
Hey, what's up?
Could you imagine?
Well, it's funny, too, is that Shep went to boarding school with my sister.
Oh, that's
so
right.
So I've known Shep for a really long time, and he went to boarding school with my sister. I'm not, sorry, love you, Shep, but I'm not, yeah.
That's not, yeah.
No. He ain't having it married. That's okay. But love Shep. But I love Patricia. Love. And you also Captain Sandy.
Oh, yes. I want to go back to Bethany for 1 second, because on the after show, and I think it comes up at the reunion, you have met Mystery Man Paul, who we don't get to see very much. So can you tell us a little bit about what he's like, what it was like hanging out with him in Palm Beach? You met his parents, right?
You know what? He's amazing.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. He is cute. He is fun. He is cool. His parents are adorable. The dad is like this like big personality. The mother, I think, originally came from Japan. She is like also like a good... It's like the most, they're so cute. But what is also amazing is that when you see, so the dad is like this huge personality and like big and has to be right about everything. We all know Bethany has to be right about everything too. So it's really hilarious because the two of them go at it. So then there's Paul and the mom sitting back like literally just like laughing and being like, there they go. And then there's...
That must be a really good dynamic,
it's
actually.
It's hilarious. Yeah. It'd actually be like a reality show. It's hilarious.
Oh, okay.
But they are so funny. And then the dad and Bethany just keep going each other. And like, I'd have to say, Bethany schools him a lot. So it's really funny.
That is so amazing. Well, can you give us any updates on your dating life now?
I am dating.
Okay.
And... it's really the first time that I really am dating, which I think is like a really good thing. I've never dated. I went from boyfriend to boyfriend. I met my husband when I was in boarding school. It was my first ever person that I like major smooch, had sex with, the whole thing. Sorry, Mom.
Ooh.
To Enya. No, Enigma. Oh, God. Gregorian Chants.
What? Is how we had sex. Stop.
I know. Let's
Your
stop.
First time?
Yeah.
No. Oh, my God. That is good. That is a Bravo Daily Dish exclusive, you guys. Isn't it funny what you remember that? Like, you're not going to forget that. And then you, like, hear it randomly.
No,
and like,
I know. Oh. I know. Gregorian Chants is really sexy, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's my first sexual experience. Thank you. Anyway, so I was like, you know, we were madly in love, of course, and the whole thing, we got married and everything. And so this is like really, I've dated and dated and dated. I've had a lot of bad relationship, good, back and forth. First time I'm actually really dating different people and also really working on myself and not just like actually business again. Like I was always very focused on business and all of a sudden, I got really focused on men. And then I'm like, okay, I'm back to myself and doing business. So I'm really working really hard. I'm doing, obviously, with Winky Lux with the lashes and then working other things and more beauty products with Winky Lux and really like feeling really good about myself again and feeling more confident and feeling free and happy and dating good men. And which was funny was, so the guy that Bethany did set me up with for a second, Brett, in Miami, I saw him again in Miami and just to have like a lunch, whatever. And he was like, I was complaining about the men I've been dating or different things. He's like, you need to date a man that has children because they have empathy. Because I have been suffering over the fact that a lot of men are just like arrogant mother effers and they're sorry, but you are, and you're mean and you don't care. And I found that, you know, I never would have thought about dating a man because, you know, I'm older too. A lot of the older men have children. Yeah. I get it. But I still was kind of cutting them off. And to date men with children, it's like, it's amazing.
Right.
I recommend it highly.
That's a good point.
They're really, they have empathy. They're taught it. If they don't have it, if they were assholes before, the kids make them not
they
assholes.
They had to learn it pretty quickly.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And they're great men. And I've been dating a lot of great men. And one in particular is really sweet.
Oh.
I'm not going to say who.
Okay.
But he's a really great guy. And yeah.
Tell us more about what you were doing in China. You were working with No Dogs Left Behind, right? So what was that experience like?
Jeff Barry, who runs that organization, you know, I met through working with other charities in New York with pet rescue and stuff with, you know, on the show even, I did something with the Best Friends Animal Society. And I met him and I just was so fascinated by what he was doing. He's dedicated his life to being, he's an American. He's in China mostly. He is rescuing dogs from the slaughterhouses, from the meat trade, from the trucks that are headed to Yulin, the whole thing. And it's incredible. And, you know, I can't imagine the concept of, you know, dogs being eaten. It's, but, you know, as an adult and thinking about my life as a, you know, living in the U.S. and the whole thing, I'm like, well, I do eat pork and I do, you know, these things.
That's
and
true,
so
yeah.
I start to, and I don't judge and there's nothing to say, but I just recently have started to question my own values about eating, you know, meat and different, you know, meat product, whatever, like pork or beef or chicken. Even, you know, I'm thinking that it's okay to eat birds, but not maybe, I don't know.
Right, anyway. It's tough because you're faced with that so much in the media and you hear different reports and there's all these documentaries out now. So it's tough to really figure out what you should and shouldn't be eating.
And particularly since now that I've adopted these two amazing, wonderful little babies from China that were going to be eaten. They were literally on a truck that was heading towards Yulin and horrible. Now I'm like, and when they were in the sanctuary, they were actually vegan because, of course, in the sanctuary, they're not feeding them anything meat.
Right.
Because they're like, they were going to be meat. So it's a horrible.
Yeah.
You know, my children were, I don't know.
They were rescued. You saved them.
Yeah, I know.
Do you have plans to work more with the organization in the future?
I do. I do. I mean, it was so random. I mean, I just had a lot of free time and I was able to like jump on a plane to China and didn't even tell them I was coming. I was like, I just bought my ticket and I'm going. And I was like, hey, by the way, I'm coming. And like, great. It's amazing. Because I met them like a couple months ago. And, you know, of course, I want to be there as much as I can. You know, the dogs that are there that are being rehabilitated and they have been, I mean, a lot of them have like, I mean, whether they've been tortured, abused, like despite all of it, they are wanting to be so loved. And it's such a like a human nature kind of thing. It's like we've all been through a lot and these babies have been through a lot. And the fact that they still look at you and they're like, love me, help me, try. Like and they're still wanting. They're not. My dogs could be the kind of dogs that would be like biting or like worried. They've been, their eyes definitely seem worried and scared. They're not biting or yippy or they're so grateful of being rescued. And I don't know. Sorry. I'm just going.
No, it's beautiful.
I literally, you have no idea. I never expected to go there to adopt. I went there to go help. And then when I got there and I met them and then even I got them and I took them home. And then every single day, it's like the most rewarding. Every day gets better. And better and better to watch their eyes change, to watch them get to trust me more, to watch them not be so, you know, obviously they've been hurt and physically abused and they were put in these little cages, to watch them just trust and, oh my God, it's like so rewarding.
That is amazing.
I don't need a human baby anymore. I've got my dogs.
That's
sorry,
right.
Mom.
You got two. Speaking of your mom, you said you had gone there with the intention to maybe bring her back a dog. Did you bring her back a dog?
No, I did not bring her back a dog.
Was she like, where's mine? Or?
Yeah, no, she was so enamored. She was so proud of me. And she has been the best grandmommy. And they love her. And oh my God, we're all just in love. And no, it's amazing. It's so great.
That's great. I want to talk a little bit about your line of lashes because you've also been busy launching that. So how's that going?
You know, for the first time since I moved back to New York, I was always so busy in New York and I was always busy with, you know, working on different projects and everything. And when I moved away, I took a lot of time off, had a lot of scandalous things happen. And then I moved back and I'm finally now back into my element of working on the projects I used to do and things that make sense for me. And beauty and lashes are just I'm sorry. I know what I'm talking about. And I right now I'm wearing the graduate.
I was going to say, are you wearing your lashes today?
They're the graduates. They're the big boys.
Those are the big boys.
How good are they, though? I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're great.
Like, they're amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of working with Winky Lux, and my lashes XXO Tinsley for Winky Lux are so – I'm so proud of it. The packaging is amazing. The lashes are great. The baby doll, the everything, the graduate. These are the graduates. I mean, don't be afraid of the graduates. Like, just move on up.
Right.
The baby dolls have almost sold out, and they're amazing. And they're also, I'm a lash girl, so like, you're not gonna have a very, it's subtle, but not like super subtle.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't care. Like, you look better with lashes.
Right.
That's how you look better. And then you look better with like big lashes.
And it's become your signature, I think.
And once you, a good set of lashes can fix anything.
Hey.
Hey.
Well, beyond lashes, you have plans to expand into any other kind of beauty?
Yes. We're talking about doing other things. You know, before I'd worked with beauty with Dior Beauty, and I had a lip gloss called Tinsley Pink, and I learned a lot about that. Also, look, my mother, I'm like a Southern girl, grew up with makeup my whole life. We got in trouble every time I went to school because I wasn't supposed to be wearing makeup when I was like in, you know, fourth grade. And right. They were like, why? You know, I'd be like, well, my mom put it on me. And, you know, every time I'd walk outside, my mom would be like putting on lip gloss, and it'd be like literally running, chasing me outside the kitchen door to be like throwing on lip gloss. It was like, stop it. This is what I'm growing up with. And I think I know it very well. And definitely, we're talking about doing a lot of things. I have a lot of good ideas. I'm not going to tell you right now, but they're really cute. And the lashes are so good.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Tinsley. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Southern Charm, we're still in Colorado.
Yes, part two.
We're stuck on the mountain.
Mm. Are we stuck?
We're stuck, okay? Because I do not like skiing or snowboarding.
I love skiing.
See, okay, so that was going to be my question. They all wake up on the first morning. They all have to decide what they're going to do that day. A lot of them haven't done either one of these things because I just forget they're from the South. Like, it's not as easy to just like ski and snowboard. So what would you have chosen if you woke up in the cabins with everyone and they were like, Megan, skiing or snowboarding today?
I would choose snowboarding because I'm with a bunch of newbies and I've grown up skiing.
Okay.
So I feel like I could put myself on their level, like, hey, we're all learning something together.
Got it.
Snowboard.
So you wouldn't have pulled a Madison and just like woken up before everyone else and like gone right for the mountain and just started snowboarding.
I mean, I kind of respect that a little bit.
Right? I mean, I honestly, in this episode, really came around to Madison because I think she totally showed, maybe not even showed who she is for the first time, but I think maybe we got to really see more about her. There was the going off by herself snowboarding and being a badass at snowboarding. There was eating the gummy from Shep, getting a little stoned with everyone. And then there was calling out both Shep and Craig for meddling in her relationship with Austin. So I was like, damn, girl. I was like, you are taking names on this trip, and I appreciate it.
And she works out twice a day.
Right. And she had really good extensions in.
Mm.
Really was channeling some Jessica Simpson with this look in this episode.
Extensions are important to you.
They're very important. Because I can't have them. Okay.
I could.
I'm going to come in with extensions tomorrow.
You should. Remember Jennifer Lawrence got that horrible pixie? And then it was like the next week she had a bob.
Right. She was like, I can't.
You can do it.
Okay. All right. I really also appreciated Catherine's full ski look, the red. I think someone did compare her to a Teletubby, but like she was a fabulous Teletubby.
Like a chic Teletubby.
Like a very chic Teletubby. But like I really loved that she had a look. It reminded me actually, if you guys remember, weeks ago we interviewed Hester Sunshine, who was in the top three on Project Runway. And she explained that she, in her next career move, wants to start designing way more like cool, funky, fabulous, like extreme sporting gear. And as soon as I saw that look, it reminded me of what Hester wants to do. I was like, yes. I was like, Catherine knows. So I kind of thought Catherine was already into like extreme sports, but she just like was into like extreme being fabulous.
So every time I hear Hester, I think of Scarlet Letter, Hester Prynne. So literally I was picturing you in the podcast studio sitting across from Hester Prynne in like a bonnet with like a big A.
The big A on her.
Well, I was here with Hester.
What's really funny is I actually dressed up like Emma Stone's character in Easy A for Halloween a long time ago. And I did like the A. I got this like corset thing and I got the A. That. And I had a red wig. We talked about this a little bit last week. So going back into Catherine and Whitney, Catherine brought the receipts this time around.
Yeah, so what did they say?
They said all sorts of things. It was basically when she showed it to Danny, we got those little like pop-ups, and it was saying like, come like around soon, don't tell anyone you're coming or whatever. And she was just like, okay. And then I think she was taking a little bit longer. So Whitney was like, where are you? And she's like, okay, hold on, Diva. Like, I'm on my way. I'll be there in a few minutes. And he totally, you can tell just by the tone in his messages, like he wanted this to be on the DL.
Which, by the way, makes me sad for Catherine. I just think that if a guy is like, come over and don't tell anyone, game over.
Right. So then we kind of see her react to that later on in the episode. The cannabis dinner is happening, and she's kind of like, well, Austin, you should have checked in with me. And then, like, Whitney's denying everything, and she just kind of gets a little bit overwhelmed, which I don't blame her at all. I would be so pissed at Whitney if I were her. When we get the flashback footage from Watch What Happens Live, where Whitney literally calls her a drug addict and is like, she's a crazy drug addict person. She's not just, like, a single struggling mom.
We've kind of been... like pegged as like these kind of mean, snobby, yeah, exclusive people to this like unwed, poor, helpless mother. When in fact she is a drug addict, violent sociopath, and we want nothing to do with her.
She revisits that and it almost looks like she pulls up BravoTV.com on her phone. I can't really tell, but I know the image that they blurred out a little bit is an image that we have used before. So I was just like, I forgot about that and did not put that all together, that he said such horrible things about her in the past. So for him to like have said that and now be denying that they had sex together, it's like he has a lot of owning up to do.
1,000%.
I'm going to call his mom.
You need to talk to your son.
Patricia, you tell him. But I did love the setup of the dinner because they weren't like, everything has weed in it. They were like, okay, well, you put olive oil on or it's in the dressing or whatever. So everyone can sort of manage their high, because that is one of those things that I understand what Cam said, I think, in the last episode where she was like, I get anxious at the thought of smoking and getting anxious being high. Like, I get that mentality sometimes. But I just love that there was like this whole dinner. There were so many options. We're hosting one.
Okay? All right. In.
I also love Cameron because she was like, you know what? My mojo is retired.
It is very entertaining to watch my friends get high on the wacky weed, but I am now realizing that there is no getting my mojo back. My mojo is retired.
That makes me sad.
I know, but I also just like, aside from just being a mom, sometimes, you know, I was just at a bachelorette party this last weekend, and it was, first of all, like felt like 111 one of the days because it was just like so hot here. And I just, by the, like, Sunday night, you know, I was just sort of like, I feel like my mojo is retired. Like, I'm just tired of partying that much sometimes, you know?
First of all, it was just the heat, okay?
It was.
Probably. Relax. You're fine.
I was, like, out with you Friday drinking, like, 4 beers in a row after work. And I'm like, my mojo's retired.
And literally pouring water on me because I wasn't paying attention to you.
I did do that, yeah. It was just with a little straw. A little squirt.
So, no, I first of all, I'd be sad if your mojo was retired. Probably wouldn't still be friends.
That's true. My mojo is not retired. It's just like planning for retirement.
It's just on the... It's like talking to its investment banker. Exactly. It's like, what are my options?
Right. We're looking at houses in like Florida, but we want to live there. It's too humid. You know, like, it's getting there, but it's not gone yet.
So I got to sit down with Luann de Lesseps. We talked about if she would ever do a full album of songs... You should hear the answer. How she managed to get Cynthia Bailey and Lisa Rinna both to be in her Feeling Giovanni music video. Plus, she gives an update on the status of her friendship with Barbara. Here's that interview. And we are here with Countess Luann. Thank you so much for coming back.
Thanks, Megan. Good to see you.
Good to see you. And the reunion, where part two will be airing shortly. Mm-hmm. And... wow, it seems like you were in the hot seat from the jump.
I was in the hot seat from the get-go this season. Yeah, so it's not been easy for me, and especially with what I've been going through on top of it. So it's been particularly rough on me. But, you know, you live and you learn.
Right.
Right?
Did you expect as much when you were getting ready for the reunion that day?
Oh, yeah. I expected the reunion to not be easy. I usually like the reunion, and this time I was like, oh, this is not going to be easy. You know, the reunion's all about saying the things that you didn't get a chance to say, you know, or that weren't clarified, and to kind of make amends. So, you know, it took me a little moment to get my footing, but then I felt comfortable being there.
Do you feel like you got across what you wanted to the ladies?
I think so. I think what came across as being self-centered for me this season was really about me taking care of myself. And you know, you can only give so much. And I realized, but wasn't sensitive to it because I wasn't, you know, I was in my pink cloud. You know, I was taking care of myself, most focused on sobriety and my cabaret show because that gave me joy. Little did I know it did not give them as much joy.
How is cabaret going?
Amazing. The shows are going great. I'm on a Live Nation tour, going soon to Provincetown, Hampton Beach Casino in New Hampshire, New Orleans, Dallas, Houston. So it's going great. And, you know, I was saying earlier to a friend, I love it because everybody that comes to my show gets dressed up in Giovanni. You know, if they don't have Giovanni, they wear something that looks like Giovanni. So They're usually in sequins and in my Countess Collection, you know, statement necklace line, if not mine, in their own. You know, so it's just so great to see that people respect me that much to show up to my show and be dressed for the occasion.
It just must be such a weird juxtaposition to go from doing a cabaret show for fans who are adoring you and supporting you to then having to sit down with the housewives who just...
Yeah, don't give me a break. So luckily, I have the love of my fans. And I just feel like, thank God, because I needed that. And, you know, that's exactly why I stayed 3 weeks and then I came out to do a cabaret show in rehab, because I needed that. I needed the love. I needed the, I needed to keep myself, you know, busy. And this was the perfect place for me. I know a lot of people think cabaret is all about drinking, but it's not for me. It's work.
Yeah. It's always my favorite question to ask, but what did you do after the reunion this season?
I went to the Hamptons to relax, and I'm going upstate this weekend. You know, I'm taking time for myself and just, you know, not thinking too much about the past. I'm one of those that likes to put things, you know, behind me and move forward in a positive way. So I'm just really taking care of myself, doing yoga, being with my children, and enjoying my homes.
So there was no group dinner at the end of the night?
No.
Mm.
No, there was no group dinner, but not to say that it didn't end well.
Okay. All right. And how are you and Dorinda today? It was encouraging to see at the end of part one, you two really come together. And
yeah. No, we're good. You know, I asked her to be in, you know, the Feelin' Giovanni video, and she politely declined, which was fine. And then, you know, of course, I got Lisa Rinna and Cynthia Bailey, and I invited Dorinda to the launch for the music video. And so, you know, we are in a good place. We, you know, certainly have worked through some issues in the reunion. And our relationship is on the mend and in a really good, positive way.
Is there anyone that you don't feel like you walked away from with a better understanding?
I think they all understood me a lot better after the reunion. You'll see after part two.
Okay.
And part three.
How did it come about getting Lisa Rinna and Cynthia Bailey to do the video with you?
You know, I sent Lisa the song. Lisa and I have been friends for a long time, and Cynthia and I. So when I thought of the Charlie's Angels part of the video, I thought, you know, Lisa Rinna, because she's a great dancer and she's gorgeous. And then Cynthia Bailey, who's just, you know, fabulous on the inside and out, and so they were perfect. And I sent Lisa the song. She heard it and she goes, I'm in. And she just had a great attitude about it, and she's just, you know, a fun, you know, fun girl who got it. And then I thought, okay, if we've got the girls, we got the angels, now we need Charlie. And I really love Andy because he, you know, jumped in feet first and didn't ask me anything really, and just was very supportive of the music, and he knows how much I love it, and so he's been great.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So are we ever going to get a full album from you one day?
You know, I mean, I love doing Christmas shows. So what about Christmas with the Countess?
Ooh.
That could be fun, right?
That'd be really fun.
I'm also going to do, I think, a live recording of one of my live shows. So people that can't get to it get to hear it.
Yes, that mm-hmm. would be great. I mm-hmm. love that idea.
You're taking notes over there, right?
And how are things with you and Barbara today?
You know, Barbara and I are okay. I mean, I was really stunned by her comment, but Barbara's been to 8 of my shows and she loves my cabaret show. So not quite sure where that came from. You know, of course, I say in the reunion, I don't pretend to be Adele. I'm an entertainer. You know, I entertain my friends. That's what I do. I, you know, love to tell jokes. I love to host and I love to sing. So it's the show's like being in my living room. It's really, you know, it's really about entertainment and showbiz. And it's very kind of Carol Burnett variety. And I just love what I do. And I think that comes across in the show and people just love the show. Have you seen the show?
I haven't.
Oh, my God.
I know.
That's not even possible.
I mean, it's very upsetting.
Yeah, no, you have to see it.
What do you see as happening next in your career?
You know, I'm writing a book right now because I feel like I need to tell my side of the story about what happened that famous night and what led to it and ultimately how that brought me to the cabaret stage. So I think people want to know that. And so I'm writing that. It's been very therapeutic. So, you know, working on that, I get to tell people things that they don't know that, you know, were inaccurately reported about me and, made into fodder to sell newspapers. So, you know, I want to tell the truth about what happened to me that night and I want people to understand me better. So I'm working on that. And, you know, just, you know, I've been doing Giovanni and the music and the cabaret shows. So I've had my hands full and, you know, being a mom at the same time. So coming up, you know, I'd like to do more scripted stuff.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Like in front of the camera?
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe both.
Okay.
Producing and, awesome. And in front of the camera.
That's amazing. If Roni comes back for another season and you come back with it,
mm-hmm.
do you feel like you would go in doing things differently?
You know, I feel like I've learned a lot from this season, and I feel like I know more how to manage my sobriety with the women. And so I think, you know, that will be helpful for the next season.
And lastly, any dating updates?
Now I know everybody wants to know about dating. You know, I was seeing someone for a bit and very special to me. And, you know, I just feel like I need this time to focus on myself and get through August because this whole thing will be behind me. And it's hard to believe that all that I've been through is finally going to be over and I can just put it behind me and move forward. So really happy about that. I'm focused on that this summer and I'm looking forward to a very exciting fall of dating.
Well, my fingers are still crossed for you and Ray. So.
Oh, Ray? Oh my God. He was so crazy. He was hot, but crazy.
So for all the fans out there who want to know, how can I get a piece of Luann, whether it's the jewelry or the cabaret, tell them.
Well, you go to countessluann.com and you'll find my statement necklaces. You'll find cabaret tickets and you'll start feeling Giovanni. And it feels so good.
Thank you so much.
Thank
this
you.
Was great.
Thank you, honey.
All right, so should we talk about the Real Housewives of Dallas trailer
yes.
for season 4?
I am so excited. I cannot wait. I love them all so much. There's a new wife. Let's take a look.
She was so beautiful and innocent. And I feel bad that she came from a pet store.
This season on The Real Housewives of Dallas.
We will turn away from the problems of the past and give the future a chance to become the best of friends.
You're a yappy chihuahua.
You know, in today's climate, you can't say stuff like that.
Yeah, in today's climate, you shouldn't say that your husband's cheating on you when you don't have evidence.
When you disagree, do it respectfully.
All I know is when we signed that trust over, I know what was in there. Don't be stupid.
I owned my situation.
Don't say f***ing camera in my face.
Be kind to one another.
I'm not afraid of you.
I know you're not.
If anyone should be afraid, you should be afraid of me.
Be gentle and forgiving with each other.
You know what? You owe me a big f***ing apology. And when you get on your knees and apologize to me is when I will accept you back as a friend.
Have y'all met Carrie?
I don't want to be like having like
multiple orgasms or something.
Who invented marriage anyway?
Everyone gets a baby elephant.
Oh my gosh.
Faster! Can you beat them?
Girl, you better check yourself.
Sometimes you make me feel like I am not good enough.
You're not acting like a grown-ass woman right now. You're acting like it's your perspective.
She likes to give but she cannot take it. And I'm sick of people like that.
Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm just not used to all this drama.
Don't kill anyone. Jail's not worth it, Leanne.
This is, I think, the second trailer in recent times for Bravo that's opened with like a bizarre funeral.
What was the other one?
Summer House.
Oh, right.
When the Summer House trailer first came out, we didn't know Jordan, and it opened with like all of them in black, and he was in like a priest outfit, and he was like, they were having some kind of funeral, and I was like, what's going on? So in this one, we get a bunny funeral.
Right. Which, okay.
Which seems like it was 100% Brandy's idea, because her daughter's like trying to distract her in the clip with like a flower, and Brandy like pushes the flower away.
But also, like, we as fans have not been introduced to the bunny.
Right. I'm not invested in the bunny.
There is a bunny I'm invested in, but it's on Beverly Hills.
It's in the clubhouse right now.
We have Leanne's wedding.
Finally.
With a tiara.
Obviously. Plus, they are going on a trip to Thailand, which I think is major.
Yeah.
Because seeing those ladies out of Dallas and into like a completely different environment, that's going to be amazing.
Yeah. And then we have a new housewife, Carrie Brittingham.
Traded Carrie for Carrie.
I know, it's very confusing. So Carrie Duber is just a friend of mm-hmm. this season, but we do have new Carrie.
I wonder who she's going to be brought in through. Like, who knows her?
Oh, right. She's originally from Guadalajara, Mexico.
Okay. Interesting.
Right?
Do you think she knows anyone from Mexican dynasties?
Oh, that's a good question. She is introduced to the group through Deandra.
Okay.
Because they are neighbors.
Speaking of Deandra.
Yeah.
We got a little bit of Mama D.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
So my rose hasn't actually even aired yet. But I got a sneak peek at the next episode of Real Housewives of Potomac, and oh my God.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, because I haven't watched it yet, and it seems the trailer at the end of the episode didn't lead me towards there being an explosive moment, but that's where you're leading me now.
Right, and that's all I can say.
Okay, well, my rose was actually this episode of Real Housewives of Potomac in its entirety, because it was a really emotional episode. I've talked about in the past, I think, and it's been my rose before, Giselle's relationship with her daughters. And I just love seeing the way that she is with them, the way she talks to them, the way she checks in with them.
If you guys could have, like, an improved mom, what would be different?
How much time do we have?
Angel!
Be nice.
And then, you know, her one daughter is sort of like, I don't feel like I'm getting the right attention, so she takes that time. Plus, we had Ashley dealing with all sorts of this crazy stuff, not only with Michael, but then the issues with her father. And it really just, like, I don't know, I was very emotionally invested in this episode.
Yeah, it was a good one. I would say that my thorn is from Real Housewives of Potomac. And this is a little controversial, okay?
Oh, boy.
I do not like seeing 3D sonograms. Now, maybe if I had a child of my own, I'd feel differently. But it just seems like you're looking at a lot of mush, right?
It is very
mushy.
Texture-wise, it does seem kind of strange.
And so then for Monique to host a viewing of it at the doctor's office, I just was not really into.
That's very new for me, too. Like, the idea of, like, people are also going to come with me.
Yeah.
And sit in the waiting room and then come and, yeah, that was a little bit strange.
What was your thorn?
My thorn is from Southern Charm, New Orleans, and it is Jeff finding out that Reagan is pregnant at Friendsgiving.
Reagan's pregnant.
Oh.
I don't really know how.
Does anyone else know?
Honestly, it's been kind of like a hush-hush thing. So, like, I know, man. Like,
whoa.
I know it's a lot to take in. You know?
Why'd you tell me that right now, man?
Like, when that moment happened, my heart, like, actually sank. I felt so bad for him. And you guys will hear in a couple weeks, we sat down with Tamika and talked about this season and what happened that night and all of that. But it was just such an emotional moment. And I feel like Jeff's been going through so much, and watching Reagan sort of just like full speed ahead, wedding, new baby, new guy, the whole thing. I just feel really bad for him.
No, I 1,000% agree. And next week, we'll have interviews with Austin Kroll and Karen Huger. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting...